Thank you for joining me. I'm Kimberly Rogers, and you're listening to the Torah portion for Shabbat, August 26th and 27th, 2011, from sundown to sundown. This teaching is brought to you by themessianicmessage.com. I hope that you enjoy this message. This week's Torah portion is called Re'eh. It means see. And it's from Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 to chapter 16, verse 17. The Haftarah is Isaiah 54:11 to 55:5, and the Brit Hadashah is John 7, verses 37 to 52. Before we get to Re'eh this week, I need to make a correction in Ekev from last week. I made a mistake in giving you a scripture reference for the word reward. I said that it was in Isaiah. It's actually not. It is in Psalm 19:11. Let me read that to you. It says, starting in verse 7, actually, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Well, that goes along with this week's Torah portion, see, doesn't it? "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward." Ekev. In Psalm 19:11, and that was the scripture that I should have put in there instead of the one that I mistakenly put in there. Anyway, I just wanted to bring you up to speed on that. And I think that this reading in Psalm 19 actually fits this Torah portion as well. Re'eh covers several topics, and those topics are, you know, about the sacrifices being only at appointed places, or at the appointed place. There's only one appointed place. The ritual laws of slaughtering, dietary laws, giving of tithes, false prophets, sabbatical years, indentured servitude, firstborn males, and three pilgrimage festivals are taught in this Torah portion. But I'm not going to concentrate so much on the Torah portion this week as the Haftarah. However, I'm going to just give you a little bit of overview in the about the Torah portion, because there's a couple of things that it would be helpful for us to understand about it. This Torah portion presents us with the choice of getting blessings or getting curses. And in fact, we are now commanded to choose. He says in verse 26 of Deuteronomy 11, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known." The overreaching theme of Re'eh is the going after other gods which you have not known is what gets you the curses, you see. The blessings come from being obedient. We started talking about that in the previous Torah portions. Now, what I want to bring out is this. It is a rare thing when God says to a human being, see. Why is that rare? Well, because he knows, and he has said in other parts of the Torah, "I know how your eyes go astray." So why would he want us to see? That's what Re'eh means. It means see. Well, we're usually commanded to hear. Remember, faith comes by hearing. Shema says, "Hear, O Israel." But in this Torah portion, we are to re'e. We are to see. Now, in order to understand the meaning of the word see or re'e, we need to understand the other word that is sometimes used that way, which means an eye. It means outward appearance or face value. That word is ayin. Ayin. Now, it's another Hebrew word that has to do with seeing. And the word, a Hebrew word, is translated, this Hebrew word ayin, I should say, is translated as in his own eyes in Deuteronomy 12:8. Let's go over there and read it. You shall not do, after all that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. You see, that last phrase is ayin, his own eyes. So we have now two ways of seeing. We have ayin, which is whatever is right in our own eyes. And then we have re'e. Now, the word re'e is actually better translated as behold. Behold has the connotation behind it that there's more to what you're looking at. And in order to determine what you're truly looking at or seeing, you have to have discernment. You see, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is discernment. Well, right here we have in the Torah where we are supposed to have discernment. You know, walking according to Torah causes our discernment to kick in. That's what gets us the gift of the Holy Spirit called discernment. And it's discernment that we need in order to determine who is a false prophet, who is not a false prophet. Where shall we do our sacrifices? Where shall we not do our sacrifices? Is this food? Is this not food? Who is a firstborn? Who is not a firstborn? You see, those are all things that, yes, we get instructions on them in the Torah, but our discernment about them is supposed to kick in. We're supposed to see into those things deeper than just the surface of what's there. So there are many ways in which we need to learn to use discernment according to what is in the Torah. But I want to talk about false gods and their false prophets for a minute before I get to the Haftarah, because it's related to the Haftarah. We're seeing a lot of false teachers, a lot of false prophets today. You know, I get a lot of emails from people who, oh, I had a vision, and, you know, or somebody I know had a vision, or this guy had a vision, and here's the vision. And, you know, my first question is, are you walking Torah? If you're not walking Torah, guess what? Delete. Why? Because even if what they say is true, if what they say comes to pass, they're a false prophet, and I'm not to even listen to what they say. And in fact, if we were in the land, I'm supposed to haul them up before the judges with witnesses and see, you know, what was going to happen to them. You know, they're supposed to be stoned if it's found out that they are being false prophets. God commanded the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 12 to destroy everything having to do with idolatry in the land of Israel. Now, this is meant not only as a cleansing of the land of Israel, but as a way to show the nations that God is better than their stone, wooden, and metal idols that don't see, hear, talk, or eat. Now, I personally believe that God prefers that the nations that are outside the land of Israel would choose to destroy their own idols in the lands where they reside rather than him having to come through and wipe it clean. I believe that's God's preference. He would prefer that we just all come to him instead of him having to shake up the world in the way that is being shaken up now and the way it's going to be shaken up in the future. But of course, people won't do that. But what he wants is for Israel to be a land with no idols, a land with no idolatry. So he needed that generation that stood there before Moshe to go into the land and destroy all of those idols and all of that idolatry out of the land so that the nations around them would be able to see the blessings that come from being a believer in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, we all know that that didn't happen. And so that's why a lot of people, they just don't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's people failed at that. But obedience leads to the destruction of idolatrous trappings. But it is discernment, it is re'eh, that leads to correctly dealing with false prophets. Okay, let me explain that a little bit differently. When you're obedient, you'll get rid of the idolatrous trappings, the Easter and the Christmas and the Halloween and the all of those, you know, idolatrous celebrations. But that's obedience. But discernment helps you to know who is a false prophet. We have to know who are the false prophets among us. Let me tell you what. Deuteronomy 13, starting in verse 1, gives us the definition of a false prophet. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams that gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, but then he speaks to you saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. That means let us celebrate Christmas, let us celebrate Easter, let us celebrate Halloween, let us celebrate the saints and their birthdays and all those things. Let's do that. When they come and they say, do that, here's what the Lord says. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proves you. He wants to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That's all that's about. That's why I hit the delete button. I'm probably not going to get so many of these emails now that get passed around. This guy had a vision, this gal had a vision. Everybody probably going to stop sending that stuff to me because they know I'm just going to hit the delete button. I am not supposed to listen to the words of that prophet. Period. Let us not misunderstand what the Lord said there. You will not listen to the words of that prophet. That's why I delete those emails. Anyway, I get off on this tangent about prophets because I run into so many of them and people listen to them. But see, they think that if that prophet is correct, then, well, if he was correct about this thing and it happened, then when he says that the law is old and obsolete and passed away and you don't have to keep that anymore, oh, I bet those signs and wonders came from the Lord. Yeah, they had to come from the Lord. That's right. And so then, then that must mean that since the Lord gave him signs and wonders, the Lord probably also told him to tell us that we don't have to do that Old Testament stuff anymore. So you see, this is why I get all excited about false prophets. So anyway, the main goal of a false prophet is to thrust you out of the way that the Lord your God has commanded you to walk. Now, how can we be thrust from God's commandments? By listening to their words and by not discerning or reaying the content of their lives. What is the purpose of a prophet of the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? The main purpose of a prophet is not to foretell the future. That's what pagans define it as. The Bible defines a prophet as someone who wants you to teshuvah, to repent, to turn around and go back to the Torah. Teshuvah, repent, turn around, go back to the Torah. That's what the job of the prophet is. That's what Torah teachers do. That's why all Torah teachers are actually prophets. So, if, again, there's a prophet out there who is not following nor is teaching people to follow the Torah, that prophet is a false prophet. You are to run, don't walk away from that person. Now, where do the false gods of the world originate from? A lot of people will say Egypt, but actually Nimrod's kingdom was the first idolatrous kingdom, and it was in Iraq. Well, in the Middle East, we have ancient Persia, which is Syria, Iraq, and Iran. And guess what's happening? They are now creating the beast of Revelation 13 and pulling other nations in along, you know, with them to create the beast of Revelation 13. And right now, Bashar al-Assad is showing the world just what kind of ruler that beast system is going to be. It's going to be all love and flowers and kisses and hugs, right? Well, I don't think those 2,200 dead people in Syria would come back and say, no, Bashar didn't. I don't think they'd say that Bashar loved them. I think they would say Bashar hated them. But here's the problem. We got Christians who are still worshiping at the feet of Nimrod's mama and her offspring that actually later on came out of Egypt, because that's where they migrated to, and they are actually worshiping the gods of ancient Persia, which are the gods that they're going to be worshiping that represent the beast of Revelation 13. There is no difference between what was happening back there with Nimrod or what's going to be happening with the beast of Revelation. There's no difference in those ancient gods that are actually not gods. They are demons. But Christians are worshiping that. That is their worship. And so when they come to you and say, I am a Christian, I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and here, let me tell you about my dream, or let me tell you about my vision. Run, run, don't walk, run. We need to learn this, because coming up to the tribulation is going to be a time when there are going to be so many false prophets. And I particularly like Rie's Haftarah of Consolation. That is especially apropos for us today. Because if we don't listen to the false prophets, we can be consoled and comforted. If we listen to the false prophets, we're not going to be consoled and comforted. Let's go to Isaiah 54:11. There's something important down in here that I want to show you. It says, O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in antimony and lay your foundations with sapphires. Who is the afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted? Well, of course, it's the woman. It's the, you know, God's people, it's Israel that is not comforted. And one of the reasons that we're not comforted is because we're not able to keep the Torah the way that we really want to. If we're really wanting to be Torah observant, it's really not possible because we're not in the land. And so there are a lot of things that have to happen only in the land. And of course, being out here in the diaspora, we pay a price for keeping the festivals and keeping Shabbat and those things. So we're not yet comforted, okay? He says, I will make, that's future, your pinnacles of agate, your gates of carbuncles, and all your wall of precious stones. Sounds to me a little bit like the New Jerusalem, although I have not gone to compare the New Jerusalem with this verse, but it sounds like that's what is getting, you know, the stones are getting set in the gates and the walls of the New Jerusalem. And, you know, I want to just tell you, I don't know everything. I don't. And sometimes I run out of time to go and study things. And so if anybody has an insight about these pinnacles of agate, the gates of carbuncles, and the wall of precious stones, I would love you to email me or call me and let me know, because, you know, I'm still in need of learning, and I learn a lot from the people that I midrash with. So please feel free to midrash with me, because I can be wrong, and if I'm wrong about something, I would like to be able to correct it. Going on, it says, all your children will be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. In righteousness, that's, you know, what happens when you walk Torah, you will be established, and you will be far from oppression, and you shall not fear, and you shall not have terror. Now, we know that fear and terror is coming upon the world, but the Lord is establishing us in righteousness. If anyone stirs up strife, it is not from me. Whoever stirs up strife with you shall fall because of you. So those people who are going through the Hebrew Roots movement causing problems, guess what? That's not from the Lord, and they're going to fall flat on their faces because of the Hebrew Roots movement and the fact that we're moving on without them. Behold, I have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and produces a weapon for its purpose. I have also created the ravager to destroy. Now that is, I'm not sure if that's the King James Version. I think that's the King James Version, but here is the English Standard Version of that verse. It says, behold, I have created the smith that blows the coals in the fire, and that brings forth an instrument for his work, and have created the waster to destroy. So we have, in two different versions, a ravager that's created to destroy, or a waster that is created to destroy. So it appears that God has created something that is going to destroy some things. And he promises in the next verse, in verse 17, that any weapon that others may try to use against us will not succeed. So we wonder then, who is the ravager that's created to destroy, or the waster that's created to destroy? Who is that intended to destroy? Because it says no weapon fashioned against us will succeed. God is not going to use the ravager or the waster that destroys against his own people. So where can we find out about this this thing that destroys. Well, let's turn to Jeremiah 4:7. It says, "The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He is gone forth from his place to make your land desolate. Your cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant." Waster that destroys, or the waster to destroy, the ravager that destroys, or the ravager to destroy, those things, guess what? They are related to the destroyer of the Gentiles. And it says here, the lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. Well, we have to go back and look at this whole thing about in Jeremiah, because when is it talking about? Well, Jeremiah is one of those prophets that spoke to the people of his time and also spoke to the people at the time of the end. But here's what he says, starting in verse 1. "If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me, and if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then shall you not remove. And you shall swear, the Lord lives in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, you men of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire, and burn that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Declare it, you in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defenced cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north, and a great destruction. The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He is gone forth from his place to make your land desolate, and your cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant." Okay, it appears that the Lord is talking to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and in particular, the house of Judah, and it would be that he was talking to them during their time, but also at the end times. Now, I have been taught that the destroyer of the Gentiles was Yeshua. Or is Yeshua. And I believe that that's true. But I relate back to, again, that when the Lord says, I have created the waster to destroy. Well, this happened before. When the children of Israel wanted to leave Egypt, the Pharaoh did not want to let them go. Remember? Well, he finally relented, but not before he gave this warning. Exodus 10:10, "And he said to them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you." Now, that doesn't sound like it has any relationship down to this down here at Jeremiah 4:7, but I believe that it does. Because in 4:6, he says, "For I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction." Now, if I'm reading the maps of the thing that they call the destroyer, what is the destroyer? It's that brown dwarf that's coming through our solar system right now. And if you've been watching that, you know that it's called, among other things, the destroyer. Well, I think that there's a veiled something veiled in these scriptures about the destroyer. Well, listen. Egyptian scholars say that there is no written evidence of the first Exodus besides what's in the Bible. But they refuse to look at a compiled ancient book called the Colbran Bible. The account given in the Colbran Bible talks about what happened to the Israelites, and it is very similar to the biblical account. But what the Colbran Bible really is meant to deal with is this thing called the destroyer. It's information about an evil star. The Colbran Bible gives us information about an evil star, a destroyer, so that the next time it comes around, people will be prepared. You see, that's why I think it's connected to when the Pharaoh said, "Evil is before you." And then later on in Jeremiah 4, 6 and 7, we're going to bring evil from the north. And I do believe that at a certain point, because the brown dwarf and the comet Elenin are coming in at an angle, eventually when they come back around, they're coming from the north. If I'm reading those maps right, if I'm wrong, would you please let me know? They're coming up a little bit angled from underneath the solar system, then they go around the sun, and then they're coming back from the north of the earth. And it says, "I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction." And the lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. So you see how this ties into Rie, because he wants us to have discernment about the things that he says makes us righteous and holy. And he wants us to choose what the Gentiles don't choose. He wants us to choose blessings, and the Gentiles are going to reap curses. And we're going to need that discernment in these end times, and possibly we're going to need it even when it comes to these astronomical events, these signs in the sky. Now, is this planet the destroyer, that's called Nibiru and Nemesis and all other kinds of names, Planet X and whatever, is it the destroyer that was there in the first Exodus and is going to be there in the second Exodus? I don't know. I do know this. We've had way too many 6.0 and 7.0 earthquakes in the last 2 weeks when there's been an alignment between the Earth and some of the other planets, and Elenin and the brown dwarf is in that mix. I know there's just too many big things going on for that brown dwarf to not be having an effect, but is that this one? Well, I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. You know, we're all through the Great Tribulation. That's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be waiting and seeing. Wait and see what the Lord does. Because that's how he keeps us from fighting on our own and from going out and doing stuff that we think we're going to get the glory for, you see. So we'll just have to wait and see if it does turn out that this particular planetary body, or it's actually a star, if this particular body is the one that the Bible says is the destroyer that God created in order to destroy the Gentiles. Well, we're going to have to see. Anyway, now, I realize that all of that sounds a little off the wall, probably, to some people, but I believe the Lord started to put that together in my brain quite a little while ago, and finally, I got it. There was evil before them when they went into the desert the first time, and there's going to be evil before us, or that comes before the Exodus the second time. And that's going to be the things that happened in Egypt are going to be happening in the whole world globally. And so our discernment needs to be keen. That's why we need to make the choice about the blessings and the curses, between listening to false prophets and listening to God's prophets who say repent and return back to the Torah. It's very interesting that in Isaiah 55:1 he says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters." Who is the thirsty? They are those who need Yeshua. Who is the water? That's Yeshua. That's the rock. And so we need the Torah and we need Yeshua in order for us to have the discernment about the things that are happening here at the end of days. What's about to happen on the earth is going to be devastating. And the only people who are going to come through it, we're not coming through unscathed either. But we will come through it because of our re'eh, because of our seeing, our discernment. That is what the Haftarah is about. Despite the destruction that the Lord intends to do to the Gentiles, He wants His people, the ones who are not comforted now, He wants us to be consoled and comforted. That's why He's giving us all these clues and telling us what we need to do. You see, if people refuse God's discernment, they're not going to see much of the stuff that's coming. But if you are choosing the blessings, you're choosing obedience, you're choosing to have discernment, the gift of the Holy Spirit, which, you know, we were all taught that that gift didn't come until after the book of Acts, right? Or in the book of Acts. Well, guess what? It came to us all the way back there in Deuteronomy. But that's another story. If we're being discerning and obedient, then no weapon formed against us can prosper. That's what this is about. That's what the discernment is about, so that we can prosper in the face of all of the coming destruction. So, regarding the blessings and the cursings, let us choose wisely. Shabbat Shalom.